Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Mark, chapter 10. And we've been preaching just verse by verse through the Gospel of Mark. And this morning we're going to skip ahead just a little bit for the reason I'm about to tell you about. First of all, I do want to say an official Happy Mother's Day to my mother. She does listen to these to the tapes or to the CDs. And so, Mom, Happy Mother's Day. I love you and thank God for you. I've always struggled with preaching on Mother's Day. I haven't really known what to preach because, number one, I'm not a mother. and what happened was, or when, very early in my ministry, I would preach usually from, say, Proverbs 31 on the ideal woman. And so I'd lay out the ideal there and say, and, you know, and tell all the moms, this is what you need to be. And what ended up happening was it would just kind of make everybody miserable because none of us are everything we ought to be. And we all fall short. And so I would do the same thing on Father's Day to make sure I'd get the mothers and the fathers feeling equally miserable or equally, whatever the word I'm looking for right now. That's what I would do. And so I finally realized that maybe that wasn't a good idea. And so I just, for a while, just quit. Most of the time, I just preach a regular sermon on Mother's Day. But something happened this past week that caused me to change my sermon. I was actually planning on preaching on Jesus walking on the water this morning in Mark chapter 6. And next Sunday, I'm going to preach that sermon. But this last week, the President of the United States, Barack Obama, came out in favor of gay marriage. He said that he's had an epiphany, he's changed his mind, whatever, and so now he's in favor of anybody being able to marry anybody and calling it marriage. And so let me just say that when I preach from this pulpit, I'm not a politician. I'm neither Democrat or Republican or independent or anything like that. I personally don't believe that a particular political party or whoever it is that is elected or to the presidency or to the Senate or Congress or anything else really is what is going to make any difference in this nation. What this nation needs is a good old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival, and the only thing that is going to bring that about is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm a preacher of the gospel. I'm not a preacher of politics, and have determined very early in my ministry that I would not preach any particular political persuasion. So what I'm going to tell you this morning has nothing to do with politics. It has to do with what the Bible says. But when the President of the United States stands up and makes a statement that, in my mind, undermines the primary institution of the world, not just our nation, but the world. When he makes a statement like that and actually comes out and our government and our culture begins to attack that institution to destroy it, I feel like that we've got to say something from the pulpit. We've got to say what the Bible says. And so this morning, what I want to do is on this Mother's Day, I thought it would be appropriate to give us a theology of marriage. And that's what I want to do. I want us to see what the Bible says from God's perspective. And so in Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, the scripture says, Jesus then left that place and went into the region of Judea and across the Jordan. And again, crowds of people came to him, as was his custom. He taught them. Some Pharisees came and tested him by asking, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Well, what did Moses command you? He replied. They said, Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away. And what they were doing is they're quoting Deuteronomy 24, verses 1 and 2. And so Jesus said in verse 5, it was because of your heart, it is because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law, Jesus replied. But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh, so they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. And may the Lord add His blessing to the reading and the hearing of His Word. Now, Mark chapter 10 is a transition in the Gospel. Up until this time, Jesus has spent most of His time in Galilee, teaching and preaching and healing and doing all those things. And now He has moved to Judea. He's actually on His way to the cross. This is His final journey now on this earth as He marches steadily towards the cross. So He's crossed over into Judea. And Mark tells us that He's actually on the other side of the Jordan. That would be the east side of the Jordan. And there the crowd flocked around Him, and He continued to teach and preach. And then some Pharisees came and they asked Him a question. Now, the question they asked was about divorce, and they really honestly didn't care about the answer. What they were trying to do was trick Him or trip Him up. They were trying to get Him to say something that was either unbiblical or something that would get Herod or some of the other folks mad at Him. You remember that story we told about Herod a couple of weeks ago, who had married his brother's wife. And so they asked Him a question about divorce, and Jesus answered the question with the question, what does the Bible say? What does Moses have to say about it? That's always a good way to respond to those tricky questions. What does the Bible say? And so they quoted to Him Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 1 and 2. And then Jesus turned the discussion to marriage. And I want you to notice that. The question was about divorce, and He started talking about marriage. And what He has to say here about marriage, really, I think, is foundational for us, because it shows us how important marriage is and why we can't just sit by while the institution of marriage is under attack and honestly, before too much longer, will be absolutely meaningless if we keep going the way we're going. And so what I want to do is just give you this theology of marriage, that is, marriage from God's perspective. And I want to show you just three basic things. First of all, God's plan in marriage, or God's plan of marriage, or the fact that God's plan is marriage, or that marriage is the foundational institution. Look at what Jesus said in verse 6. He said, at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Now notice, it was at the beginning of creation. God didn't wait before He made marriage. Notice that He made a man and He made a woman. And we'll talk about this in a minute, but if you go back to Genesis chapter 2, you're going to find out that when God created the man and then He created the woman, there was actually a wedding ceremony there in which God Himself was the officiating officer. And the Bible says that the Lord God gave the woman to the man. He was not only the father giving away the bride, He was also the minister officiating at the wedding. Now I want you to notice something here. At the very beginning, before there was a government, there was a marriage. Before there was a church, there was a marriage. Marriage is the foundational institution of the universe, beloved. Listen, it is the foundational human institution that everything else, that government, church, family, whatever other institution there is all built upon the marriage. It is foundational. Now notice what He says here. At the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Now remember how that worked in Genesis chapter 2? God creates everything, and after He creates everything, He looks at it and says, it's good. That's good, that's good, that's good, that's good. Creates light, it's good. Creates the earth, that's good. Creates fish, the animals, stars, everything. After it all, says it's good. Then He created the man, and He said, no, that's not good. Remember that? He said, it's not good for a man to be alone. And so He said, I'm going to create somebody to go along with Him. Now, beloved, I want you to understand that God created us as human beings. He created us to be social individuals. That is, He created us to relate to others. First of all, to relate to Him. The reason you were created was to relate to God primarily. But He didn't say, okay, you're just going to relate to me and then you're going to be out there alone. No, He said you're going to relate to others as well. And so God created us to relate to others. And the primary relationship is between husband and wife. And so what happened was God put Adam to sleep, took a bone out of his side. Notice that God did not cripple Adam to make this woman. Didn't take a bone out of his foot. Didn't take a bone out of his head. Took a bone out of his side. Suggesting that the proper place for this new creation, this new creature, was going to be right there by his side. And then in that marriage ceremony in which God himself officiated, it says that the Lord God gave the man to the woman, or the woman to the man. And then Adam looked at that woman and said, "This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Now she belongs to me. She is mine. And we are it." And so together, now, Adam was complete and whole. See, before it was not good. After the marriage, God looked at it and said, "That's very good." Now watch this. It says that God created them male and female. Notice it does not say that He created them male and male or female and female. It says He created them male and female. He created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, the way somebody put it. Male and female. Now this doesn't mean that men don't relate together. We do. Every man needs a buddy, a friend. You know, to go fishing with, go hunting with, to play golf with, you know, I mean, to talk with. Every woman needs other women to talk to. I mean, ladies, you need somebody you can talk to and somebody can understand you, because I guarantee he don't understand you. I mean, you know, we need others of our own sex in order to relate with. But the primary relationship is not between men and women and women. The primary relationship is between a man and a woman. At the end of the day, the man goes home to his wife, to the member of the opposite sex. I don't live with my fishing buddies. Don't want to. I don't like the way they smell. So I go home to my wife. So beloved, this is God's plan. He created it this way. And so when the President of the United States or anybody else stands up and says that marriage can be between anybody, a man and a woman, a man and a man, a woman and a woman, and probably before long it's going to be a man and a dog or a man and his horse or whatever it is. I mean, why not? Who can say that a man can't marry his dog if a man can marry another man? You understand? Even if the President or anybody else stands up and says that's marriage, beloved, it's not, because God says it's one man and one woman till death do they apart. Now listen, I understand that it's legal in our country. It's becoming legal for a man to marry a man, a woman to marry a woman. But I want you to understand that from a biblical perspective, that is sin. It's a perversion against God. It's not part of God's plan, and it will never, ever, ever be marriage. Marriage is between one man and one woman. You understand? That's God's plan. And beloved, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And I know that before long, this will probably get me arrested. But I can't help it, because that's what God's Word says. So that's God's plan for marriage. Now, as we go along here, I want you to see God's purpose for marriage. That's the second thing. So in verse 7, it says, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one." Now, beloved, in those two verses, there are three fundamental principles that relate to the purpose of God in marriage. The first one is separation. Now notice what he says here. It says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother." There is separation there. Listen, children are a gift from the Lord, and they're wonderful. And praise God. God gives them to parents to raise and to nurture and grow. But the day comes when that child must leave home. This is God's way. And when a man takes a wife, he is to leave his home. When a woman takes a husband, she is to leave her home. One of the fundamental mistakes that couples make, listen to me, when they marry is not leaving home. And when parents won't let go, you are sinning against God. When Donna and I married, we married in Fort Worth, Texas. And our parents lived down here in Texas. Her folks lived there in Fort Worth, and mine lived around there somewhere. And we got married. 4 days after we were married, we moved to Chicago, Illinois. I was in the Navy, and we moved to Chicago, and then we moved down to Florida, and then we moved to South Carolina. And anyway, we have never lived close to our parents. It was never an option for us to go running home if we ever had a problem. And so you say, well, didn't y'all have some spats and some problems like that? No, we didn't have any spats. We had knockdown, drag-out fights. And you know, there were times when she wanted to leave, when I wanted her to leave, or I wanted to leave, and she wanted me to leave. And, you know, we came close a couple of times. But you know what? It never really occurred to us to call home and say, well, we're going to come home. I heard a story of a girl that she called home. She was having a fight with her husband. They were newlyweds. She called home and said, Dad answered the phone and said, Daddy, I want to come home. And Dad said, well, honey, is your husband there? And she said, yeah, he's right here. And Dad said, well, then you are home, honey. And then he hung up the phone. And that's the way it is. Because for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. And that's what God's talking about here. And a primary mistake is not leaving. So the first principle is separation. Leave. Second principle is unity. So he says, for this cause, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. Now, that word united literally means to be stuck together. And it's the kind of sticking together that is not post-it note sticking. You know, it's not, you know, it's post-it notes. You stick it on something, and then if you want to move it over here, you just pick it up and stick it over there. And it'll stick here and it'll stick there. And the bond is not very tight, and so it can just be moved. It'll stick wherever you want it to stick. When Jesus said a man should be united to his wife, that is, he should stick to her, what he's referring to here is super glue kind of sticking. Super glue. That is a permanent unity. Now, why? Why does God say that a man and a woman ought to be united together permanently? Well, the reason is because what he's planning on doing with that man and woman is he's going to bless them with a child. He's going to put children in that home. And children are a blessing from the Lord. But what do children need? Children need a mama and a daddy who love each other and who love those children. What happens is when the marriage begins to break down, the family breaks down, civilization breaks down, everything breaks down. But the ones who suffer the most are children. I mean, it is a fact. We see this in our nation today. We are literally filling our prisons with children from broken homes. Why can't we just see that and admit it? That's what's happening. Because it's a violation of the purpose of God in marriage. He said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cling. That is, be united to his wife. The unity of marriage in the marriage relationship is a permanent unity that God purposes for a man and woman. Third thing here is intimacy. The third principle of God's purpose for marriage is intimacy. So it says, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and they two will become one flesh. One flesh. Now, in that those words there, one flesh, there is a allusion to the sexual relationship and what happens between a man and a woman in that sexual intimacy. Now, when does 1 + 1 = 1? In marriage. Because when a man and a woman come together, united under God, they become one. And that oneness has an intimacy that stretches beyond. I mentioned the sexual relationship, and that's the one that most of us focus on. And, you know, it's the big deal whenever you first get married, but there's a lot more to it. The intimacy stretches beyond that. In fact, if it doesn't, the marriage is not going to last. I saw this played out for me just this past week in the hospital. We've got a member of our church. His name is Joe Wilkinson. And Joe, this past week, he tripped. He was out in his garden. He tripped and fell and broke his leg. And so they took him to the hospital, and they ended up flying him up to St. Luke's. And on Friday, he had surgery on his leg, did a heart partial hip replacement. His wife is Ola. And so I went up there, and Ola is there in the is there with Joe. Joe's there in the bed in tremendous amount of pain. You know who he was worried about? He was worried about her because she's kind of got a heart condition and she had been up all night, and he's worried about her. He's in tremendous pain, but he's concerned about her. She's there, and she has this heart condition. Who's she worried about? She's worried about him. In fact, I said, Ola, why don't you go, we'll get you a place over here and you can go lay down and go, no, I'm not leaving. And she was right there by his, he went in and had surgery worried about her. He came out worried about her. She stayed there worried about him. She's right by his side. We went back and saw him yesterday. She's right there, hadn't left his side. Now, beloved, what's going on there, and they've been married 65 years. They ever had any problems? You bet. Have they wanted to kill one another? Probably many times. You know that's happened in 65 years. But what you see there in this couple is an intimacy that goes greatly beyond sex I don't know exactly how to, there's a oneness there. And this is what God does. This is the blessing, beloved, in marriage. You don't have to go alone. You go with this one as one. And it is the most beautiful thing. And what happens to many young couples is they just don't allow God to do that in their lives. And as a result, things just fall apart. And what happens is the world falls apart with it. So that's God's purpose. This leave, cleave, and weave, that's God's purpose in marriage. For the family's sake, for society's sake, and you know what, for your sake as well. Okay, so there's the plan of marriage, there's the purpose of marriage, and then the last thing here is God's pledge in marriage. Look at what it says in verse 9. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. So what is the pledge of God in marriage? The pledge is that I'm going to be with you. That marriage is not just between a man and a woman, y'all trying to figure it out. Marriage is between a man, a woman, and God. A true marriage is. And what God does is, because He loves marriage, He pledges Himself to us. And what happens is each one of us are God's gift to each other. So I'm God's gift to my wife and she's God's gift to me. And together we are the gift of God to this world. I mean, that is exactly what God does in marriage. That is His pledge. And what happens is when a couple commit themselves to Him first, then God is able to do all of these things in their lives. Because you see, marriage is the foundational institution in this world. And so God has pledged Himself to husbands and wives. Now, why is this pledge so important? Just real quick. Well, it's so important because the reason we need God in marriage is because we're married to imperfect people. And we're married in an imperfect situation. Can we just be honest here for just a second? Think about Adam and Eve for just one second. When God gave Eve to Adam, both of them were perfect. There was no sin. You think about that? And they were in a perfect situation. So they were perfect in a perfect situation. He didn't snore and she didn't use his razor to shave her legs. You know, I mean, and it was just perfect, man. And everything was... And they even had problems. Now you and I, we don't live in a perfect situation, and we certainly don't have perfect mates. Anybody here have a perfect husband or wife? Keep your hands down, because you know it's not true. You know it's not true. How in the world do you love somebody that's not perfect? And how do you stay with somebody that keeps messing up and sometimes makes you so mad you just want to pull your hair out and scream? How in the world do you do that? Well, the answer is God. You see, He's the one that puts a man and a woman together. And He's the one that keeps them together. It's His love. You know, it's agape love. That's the only way a marriage will last. You know, when a man and a woman get married at the very beginning, it's that attraction type love. I love you because you're pretty. I love you because you're skinny. I love you because you smell sweet, or whatever it is. And so we love based upon what the other will do for us. That type of love lasts about 6 months. Because after about 6 months, you find out that this person ain't always pretty. You know, sometimes she wakes up and her hair's going, you know, that many different directions. And her makeup is smeared all over the place. And, you know, she uses your razor to shave her legs. And, you know, just those type of irritating things. You cannot maintain romantic love for very long. And so what has to happen is that romantic love is where we all begin, has got to turn in agape love. You know what agape love is? Agape love says, I love you for no reason. I don't love you based upon what you can do for me. I don't love you because you're pretty or because you're a good cook or anything else like that. I love you for no reason. I love you just because I love you. And beloved, that is God's love. Only God can do that in your life. And you see, when God brings a man and a woman together and puts that kind of love between a man and a woman, that unity is going to be permanent. It's going to be a super glue type thing. But how do you stay in love? How do you keep that love going? Well, the word here is forgiveness. And how do you forgive somebody? You only forgive them with God's forgiveness. You know, I heard a story as I was preparing for this about a woman who, on her 50th anniversary, she was asked, how in the world did you stay with this man that long? And she said, well, she said, on our wedding day, I wrote down a list of 10 of his faults that for the sake of the marriage, I was going to overlook. And somebody said, well, what was on that list? And she said, well, you know, honestly, I didn't write anything on the list. She said, but every time he made me so mad, I could just kill him. I always said, well, you better be lucky. That's on the list. And she just forgave him. Ruth Graham Bell, Billy Graham's late wife, once said that a good marriage is a union between two forgivers. How do you maintain love? You forgive. And so it's God's love in you, first of all, and then it's the forgiveness with which God has forgiven you that you can forgive that other person. That's how you keep on loving. Beloved, this is God's plan in marriage. And when a husband and wife are joined together in Him, you're going to find those things playing out. So I got to wrap this thing up because we got to go to Sunday school, and here it is. What is a marriage? It's a man and a woman joined together under God. Can I say that one more time? It's a man and a woman who leave, cleave, and are woven together by God, under God. Their hearts are bound together by His love. Their hearts remain bound by His forgiveness, because a cord that is not easily broken is a cord of three. A man, a woman, and Jesus. So what I'm asking you this morning, beloved, on this beautiful Mother's Day, is to commit your life to Christ. Commit your marriage to Christ. Commit your nation to Christ. Listen, you will not be the type of husband or wife that God has called you to be unless you love Him first. You will not be the kind of citizen in this nation that you need to be unless you are faithful to the commitments that you've made to God and to your husband, or to your wife, and to your family. So God has a plan, He's got a purpose, and He's made a pledge. And beloved, let's live it. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father God, thank You for Your great mercy and love for us. Lord, thank You for Your Word. And I ask God today that You would strengthen our marriages. God, not just in this church, but throughout this nation, because I understand that the nation will fall, God, without You and without strong marriages. When we redefine it into something else, it'll finally become nothing, and then we'll be nothing. And so, God, help us today. But God, let it begin right here in the hearts and lives of men and women in this congregation. Lord, as we dedicate ourselves to You and we dedicate ourselves to one another, to the body and to our spouses, Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name.